Hey, neighborhood, your feedback and support goes a long way in helping NAI grow and provide the ultimate wrestling fan experience.
That's right, and now there's even more ways to take part in the community. Just head to patreon.com today and search for New Age Insiders.
Everyone is loving their rewards, and new exclusive content is coming all the time.
And with plans starting as low as $2 a month, any support is appreciated and goes a long way towards enhancing the New Age Insiders experience.
Once again, visit patreon.com, search New Age Insiders, and take advantage of the new rewards today.
And now,
this is good old JR Jim Ross, WWE Hall of Famer, and you're listening to the New Age Insiders.
This is the New Age Insiders Wrestling Show.
Hey, this is Cody Rhodes, the Prince of Pro Wrestling, and you are listening to New Age Insiders.
With your host, Jason Maltov.
We watch wrestling to enjoy. If you're not enjoying it, why are you watching?
Liam Stryker.
If I told you once, I told you 1,000 times. Storytelling, storytelling, storytelling.
And Bill Neville.
Unpredictability is the answer. When wrestling's unpredictable, it's at its best.
This is Warbeard Hansen.
This is Johnny Mundo.
This is Donovan Dijak.
Say hello to the bad guy, Scott Hall.
This is Mean Gene Okerlund.
This is Zack Ryder.
Hi, this is Howard Finkel.
I'm Bill Goldberg, and the New Age Insiders are next.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1, liftoff.
Ladies and gentlemen, the most anticipated WWE pay-per-view, a show that has been built so perfectly that it's the hottest ticket of the year.
Bringing the extreme to Extreme Rules in a way that's never been so extreme that it's extremely extreme. Where do the stipulation matches begin? Meanwhile, where do they end, you mean?
Yeah.
Halfway
down the card is where they end.
You think that it's no rules. No, we follow all the rules.
You thought you didn't care about Bob Lashley before. Well, wait until he becomes the...
William Lashley.
The lesser of two evils. Yeah, Roberto Lashley.
Yeah.
I can't... That's all I got. That's all I got for the fake excitement for Extreme Rules. I mean, it'll be a fine show. I think we've got to this point of WWE territory where they are really, to me, split right down the middle.
Yeah.
They're either shows that are properly built and reasons to be excited, which are fewer and far between if we're being honest. And then there are shows that are like, the roster's so good, something fun's going to happen. I trust it. But I'm not necessarily, quote, excited.
Yeah, no.
And that's how I feel about Extreme Rules.
I am not excited about this show at all.
The roster is too good for it to suck.
But it's not something to be excited about.
And one day, maybe it'll be tonight, maybe we'll talk about it on the post show because we'll be live after Extreme Rules as well, right back here on Mixler and Twitch, talking to you guys and taking your calls live. Make sure you save the number in your phone, 508-202-1624. Save the number in your phone. So we could talk to you, get your reactions to Extreme Rules out there. But I mean, at one point, WWE needs to take a good hard look in the mirror and abolish gimmick pay-per-views altogether.
Yep.
If you want to have one, keep Money in the Bank. Because there's two briefcases now. People like it. I still think Money in the Bank would be well served as a WrestleMania gimmick.
I would also, yes, definitely.
But the problem is that you put so many A-listers in the match, most of them would warrant actual one-on-one WrestleMania matches. Right. I understand that conundrum.
I would also keep Night of Champions, unless Survivor Series is going to be your new versus champion situation.
Let me, because you're right, and it's important, I think, to clarify, because I also want to keep Survivor Series. You can keep gimmick pay-per-views in the sense where the
Royal Rumble.
The concept of the night is gimmicky, but I'm talking about gimmick match-centric things.
Yes, TLC.
Right, exactly.
Hell in a Cell.
Hell in a Cell. Like, we were talking about it, spoiler alert, Chip and Biff are here, because Biff is in town, and Chip is just always sort of around. Yeah. And we were having dinner.
Don't show the messy part of the studio, Liam.
I know,
yeah,
right?
Well, you know,
it's like that fourth wall in like Friends, where it's like if you go just beyond the camera, it's like Monica's wall just stops. And then that one's now we got to put that one back up.
Yep. All right.
And we're done.
There we go. Nope.
And now it's too low.
Now it's too high.
Just right.
Oh, there it is. Look, Goldilocks.
Look, I was just gonna say this porridge is getting better, but it's
Goldilocks.
There we go. But like we were talking to the guys on the way to dinner. What is WWE's biggest blow-off match now? What is it?
They don't have one.
Is it Hell in a Cell, which is just regularly scheduled violence at this point, where it's like, yeah, we stick you guys in there, and it, you know, we have to pretend we've built to a Hell in a Cell level pitch when we haven't.
Right.
And Extreme Rules.
Well,
I mean,
it also doesn't help because we can't have it at any point.
Right.
Like, at no point during the build up to the November pay per view can it just be like, and we hate each other so much we have to settle this in Hell in a Cell.
Right. Like, we can't even do something where, if we wanted to, again, I know we don't, but if we wanted to, what if Braun Strowman had continued to get kind of close to Brock Lesnar to cash in, right? Let's say that he had got close to cashing in, and Paul Heyman just always stopped it, like ran over and grabbed the briefcase and ran away with it or something.
Yeah,
something where Braun is like furious, and so he goes, Brock Lesnar, Braun Strowman, Hell in a Cell, where we're locked in, and Heyman, you can't get in.
Right.
We not that even if that specific example isn't the best, we're never going to do that again because it's just a pay-per-view match now that we have.
Right.
I think there's something a little less special about Shane and Undertaker's Hell in a Cell match because
it was the second or third one of the year.
And we had seen one 6 months earlier in October.
Right.
You know what I mean? Because that's what we do. It's a regularly scheduled thing. But anyway, Extreme Rules, the reason we bring it up this time, it's like, why are you guys complaining about Hell in a Cell? There's plenty of time to do that in a few months. This thing about,
because it's not even in October this year.
Is that right? They moved it?
Yeah.
Did they?
Yeah.
Wonderful. Yeah, I think it's in December now.
To bring back Halloween Havoc is what they should do.
December to dismember.
There's rumors out there that they're thinking about bringing back some WCW properties.
Halloween Havoc should absolutely come back in October.
Giant pumpkin brought to you by Snickers. It was just Snickers. It was just a Snickers pumpkin. It was just this giant, like it was the
I remember.
It was the kind of pump for people that didn't watch WCW in 1998, all million of you. The pumpkin looked like if you had somebody in your neighborhood who was
that
like
had a blow up pumpkin,
super into Halloween, like that guy in the neighborhood that's like crazy into Halloween.
Yeah, right.
But because it was 1998, it just worked.
Yeah.
Bring back the pumpkin. Hashtag bring back the pumpkin. We gotta stop doing these pay per views, especially look at this one. This doesn't have anything extreme about it. We're not even pretending anymore.
No, we're not. Because the Extreme Rules, right? Are James Ellsworth getting suspended in a shark cage.
Oh, my God.
We have a half Iron Man match, which I've been calling the Rebarb Man match.
Okay.
Because it's not iron, it's just rebarb.
What about, like, War Machine match? Oh, because that's Iron Man's friend, but it's confusing because of the wrestling tag team.
You can't do it. Then we have a steel cage. We don't have...
Jarvis. And Jarvis is, like, half of Iron Man, right?
Yeah, sure.
Jarvis.
Sure. And then we have one Extreme Rules match, and it's the first ever women's Extreme Rule match.
Like a rumba. So that's
and a tables match.
I think the gimmick pay-per-views are failing as is, but we're going to open it up to two neighborhood members and Hall of Famers and just friends, because we've honestly made friends through this whole incredible, wacky experience. Biff came to town to Boston, and of course we wanted to see him, and he came through. Biff, are you excited in any way for Extreme Rules, and why not? Hold on, 1 second. You are muted. So we're going to open up. Chip, does your microphone work?
Chip doesn't have a microphone.
Doesn't even have one. We'll work on that. So before we talk about the card.
Do you want me to be excited about Extreme Rules?
Are you?
No.
Before we even talk about the card, are you?
No, I'm not.
Why?
Because.
It's
going to be too long, and nothing's going to get solved because we need to have it for SummerSlam.
Here's something that needs to get taken into consideration, right? This is a weird time to do it, right? Especially since it's kind of been confirmed that he's working SummerSlam. I miss Lesnar.
Gone back to him working SummerSlam?
Right now, Pro Wrestling Sheet is basically putting their, like, there you go. Basically, Pro Wrestling Sheet right now is sticking their neck out there and calling it 100%.
Holy crap.
That right now the odds on favorite is that Lesnar will defend against Lashley and Reigns. It'll be a triple threat match, and that way I'm sure Lesnar will just pin Bobby Lashley.
So not only is Roman Reigns going to go on last on this pay-per-view, but we're going to get a very, 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 very satisfying no contest.
Or what, to the Extreme Rules match or to SummerSlam?
The Extreme Rules match.
Oh, I have no idea. SummerSlam's going to end with Lesnar pinning Lashley.
Yeah, that's fine. Whatever. But that means, because Roman Reigns versus Bobby Lashley closes this show.
Sure.
Ugh. And it's
I think Reigns beats him.
I don't think he does, because then why does Bobby Lashley warrant getting into that triple threat if that's the case?
Oh, so you think it's some sort of schmoz that leads to him wanting a rematch, but now Lesnar's around or something
yep.
like that?
And they both get a shot at him.
Maybe. Maybe. And right now we're just going off speculation, but I mean, I miss Lesnar. Not even the Universal title, which I do think would help this pay-per-view, but I just want to see Brock Lesnar, and now I don't know. Starting to even catch up with me is the point I'm making, is that Lesnar's absence, I think, is really starting to catch up with these shows. But we'll see what happens if he works SummerSlam. And we're really excited for SummerSlam, and we'll talk to you guys a few weeks about what we got going on around here. Biff, we're going to try again. Are you excited for the 2018 edition of WWE Extreme Rules?
And well, I am, because I'm going to be watching it here at NAI headquarters.
Whoa.
Which, it's the way to do it if you're going to watch a nothing pay-per-view.
At least watch it
with these guys.
At least watch with us, right?
It's like the Patreon chat come to life. And you could be a Patreon, too, by signing up on NewAgeInsiders.com.
It's more nonsensical. It's more nonsensical in person.
Yeah.
Exactly.
Yeah, it's even if you think we talked about completely non-sequitous things before, imagine when we're here and don't care what people think.
We're
going
to embrace it. I mean, I don't know what extreme rules means. Does it mean no rules? Does it mean more rules?
It means an extreme amount of rules.
Why is your cable?
This pay-per-view is actually, you'd think that it'd be like, you can do whatever you want. No, they're actually going to be unbelievably strict.
It's like living in Massachusetts.
Yeah, like we're going to DQ you for a closed fist. You get one, and then we're out of here. Did you throw them over the top rope? DQ, Buster.
And we're so extreme.
Yeah, NWA rules.
60s Mid-South style.
We're so extreme, our tables matches on the kickoff show.
Yeah, right.
But, you know.
Yeah, a 10 count's going to mean something.
But, you know, I'm with you guys on the gimmick pay-per-views, and, you know, they essentially killed the Hell in a Cell by making it, well, it's October, so we're doing this.
Yeah.
But, you know, at the same time, I think we also, let's be a little positive, though. Wrestling fans, we're a little spoiled these days.
What?
You know, Rusev and AJ. Shinsuke Nakamura versus Jeff Hardy is happening.
Right.
For U.S. title. That's kind of cool to at least say out loud. Is it going to be the greatest match? No, probably not. It's fun, though.
I want to see Nakamura versus the Dog.
Yeah.
Why didn't they make...
Yeah, why didn't they make that... Why didn't they kayfabe it up and make that Jeff Hardy's Dog? That's the answer. That's
first what fight match.
Like, I hate to be that guy, but it's in 1999, we would have made that Jeff Hardy's Dog.
If we ever were going to do a Count from Hell match.
If we were ever going to introduce Matt Hardy's weird-ass dog, now's the time.
Yeah.
You know when we hit a wall with Superman and we were like, what if you had a dog named Crypto? Will people care about the dog? You know what I mean?
Right.
That's what we need with Matt Hardy. Well,
we hit a weird-ass wall with Superman, so we gave him a dog.
Yeah.
Right. Who was also from Krypton.
Right. And Matt Hardy. Yeah. And then we did the same thing with Bruce Wayne.
Yeah.
It's like Bruce Wayne's getting boring. What if he had a black dog?
Yeah.
And it'll be like a mean dog.
And their dogs can be dog friends.
Right.
And they hang out at the Pound of Justice.
Yes. But if we were ever going to introduce like Matt Hardy's haunted dog that bit Nakamura, named like Sharkevious. you know what I mean?
The dog. Wonderful. Yeah, Sharkevious the dog.
Sharkevious the haunted dog. Yeah. That, you know what I mean? Like, that would have been the time. And now it's just like, no, they're going
to... Barkus.
Yeah.
Barkus.
Yeah, Barkus Camby.
Wouldn't it be Wolfgang?
Would have been Barkus. Barkus Camby.
Yeah, well, Wolfgang.
Multiple time NBA All-Star, Barkus Camby.
The best part of all of this is I'm sitting next to Chip, who has not watched wrestling for months and has
available now on the NAI
network. Certainly has no idea that Nakamura was bit by a police dog.
Yeah, that really happened.
So on that note, thoughts,
you know,
Chip?
Name named Sharkevious.
What?
Yeah. No, that's real.
Sharkevious Mingo?
Yeah.
Sure. Like I'm not falling for that one. But I know I had no idea about that.
Chip, do you know that they have doors that open like halfway through and it's so you can talk to a horse?
Oh, can I tell you can I tell everybody this? And this should have been probably a Patreon story first, but whatever. We'll tell you another story first. So we're watching WrestleMania 18. And Molly Holly takes one of those all-time bumps where she's running through the hallway and Christian slams her in the head with the door. And it's one of those doors that cuts. So the bottom can close, the top can close, or both can close. And the bottom is open, and Christian only hits her with the top part of the door. And then Chip looks at me and he goes, why does the door like cut like that? Like, why does the door open at the top? And I go, so you can open it up and talk to the horse. And he goes, oh, okay.
Yeah, that's it.
And he just thought that was the answer.
Yeah.
Is just Chip just thought that the reason that the Toronto Sky Dome had a door that could open at the top was so the horse that's back there, you could open it up,
just
check in, check in on him and give him a carrot and then leave.
Yeah.
Because we want to talk to the horse, but we do not want to set him free.
No. There are 12 matches on this show, and it starts at one.
What's the first one then? Jesus God almighty. There's 12?
Yes. So we'll start with the pre-show matches. We'll start with the tables match on the pre-show, like Biff said. It is the New Day taking on Sanity.
Sanity is already lost, so this has to be their big spooky I'm here match. So look for New Day to get put through some tables.
I am going to say that New Day win because they already don't care about Sanity. I already feel that.
Look, you're probably right, but I want to hold some like...
Yeah.
Yeah,
you're probably right about the prediction, but I already think they're like, eh, whatever. Matt and Bray are already weird.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
We don't need discount Daniel Bryan.
Yeah, Eric Young, they're just like, they're the Wyatt family, but less interesting. It's like, what if the Wyatt family grew up in a circus instead of the woods? Biff, real quick, Wyatts, or no, that's not an option.
New Day.
New Day or Circus Wyatts.
I think they're going to act like they're making an effort with Sanity and have them win this kickoff show tables match.
All right, great. Okay. So discount Bray Wyatt, not Warbeard Hansen, and Zob Rombie.
Yeah, yes.
They win.
I'm with Biff. I'm going to say Sanity as well.
I'm going to say New Day wins. Oh, Chip gets a pick.
New Day's on the pre-show?
Okay, really? Shut up.
There we go.
Have you not been listening for the last 3 minutes?
No.
All right, then.
He thought you opened the door to check on the horse.
My goodness. Yeah. All right, let's move on. The next pre-show match is Andrade Cien Almas.
Who?
Taking on...
Is he a wrestler for this company?
It's Latino Naito.
Ooh.
Yes.
Is he a Spanish idol? Is there a nickname for that? Sure. So who's Almas taking on?
Sin Cara.
Almas will win and should win, and let's go Cien Almas, because he is very talented. He just doesn't get TV time.
Yeah.
Another guy they're not going to care about nearly as much as you're going to want them to care about, by the way.
Yeah.
It's unfortunate, but it's true.
All that's right.
Yeah. So go Cien Almas.
Yep.
Yeah, I sure hope so.
Yeah. Chip, who do you just nod accordingly?
Cien.
Yay.
The internet's been clamoring for Cien to be on SmackDown, so he's got to win this match.
But I just think long term, he's just a guy that you're going to care about more than they're going to.
He's going to be new Cesaro.
Well, these two did get a match on SmackDown recently, right?
This whole thing is taking place on SmackDown.
And Cien's
congratulations,
great.
Pal. Pre-show.
And I'm not putting the guy down. I just think, like, long term, like I said, Cesaro may even be a great example. It's like you're going to want more than you're going to get.
Yeah.
Sure. Yeah. Absolutely. All right, speaking of wanting more than you're going to get, we have Finn Balor taking on Constable Corbin.
This entire storyline is so nonsensical to me, where it's like, I'm super tall and you're little and I'm better than you, and it's like, this guy's been a champion and you haven't.
Yeah, you've won a U.S. title that people forgot you won.
And then you won the Money in the Bank and then couldn't beat the champion.
Right, and it lost in embarrassing fashion. The reality, and let's not even begin to compare NXT resumes.
Oh, I know.
Remember when we existed on the same show and people forgot about your NXT run already and I was on every poster they made?
Yeah.
But the point of this is, I don't even care about the match. I think Finn Balor will win. I'm really nervous that Corbin's going to, because he's the on-screen authority figure.
Constable.
And he'll cheat to win just to brag, because that comes with credibility or whatever. I don't even want to talk about that. Really quick, I want to talk about the fact that I am now officially nervous. Remember when we played that game a month or so ago? Is it time to panic?
Yeah.
I have begun to get to the point where I might, because the one thing we have avoided with Finn Balor in his 2+ years in this company on the main roster and 3+ years in NXT, if you include that, we haven't done the you're short, no way you're going to win because you're so little thing with him.
Right.
Now we've dusted that off, and that scares the life out of me.
So the only thing is, because that hasn't been lost on me, the only thing is that Baron Corbin is presented and look, he's in no way, in shape, or form in this league, but Baron Corbin is presented in the same league as Big Cass was, Kane, Big Show, Strowman. You know what I mean? That, like, I am a big guy thing.
Yeah.
And so this isn't somebody like, you know, like McIntyre isn't really presented like, I'm massive.
Yeah.
But
it just makes me nervous because it's... If Corbin were to have that have been any part of his character identity ever before this, where like he went to anyone give me any example ever and went, are you kidding me? I'm so much bigger than you.
Yeah, right.
He's never done that. And now we've started to do the, oh, you're so little. How do you? And it's almost like, oh, God, that's probably how they talk about him backstage. He's so little. Why would he win these fights? I don't believe it. And it's like we're getting so like the. Remember 2 years ago when we were like, I think this is going to be the show's 1A babyface.
Yeah.
Like, we're stuck with Reigns or however you feel about Roman Reigns, but Balor's going to get in that rotation, and now that is foolish.
Yeah.
Now he's fighting Constable Corbin for no goddamn good reason.
Yeah, they just don't like each other.
You know what I mean? And I'm actually going to pick Corbin, which I hate, but I'll pick Corbin.
I'm picking Balor.
But I'm scared that we've introduced his size for the first time.
Yeah.
Because this is a gimmick we will never, ever, even if he fought that Chinese guy that's like 11 feet tall, we'll never pull that trigger with Seth Rollins. We're never going to call Seth Rollins little, ever. We're right. never going to do it. And Finn Balor's only like 2 inches shorter. And once you open that Pandora's right. box of your little, oh, in this company, it seems so hard to come back from.
Right.
And that scares me more than any match or any, like, the fact that he's working Baron Corbin and it's not a big deal bothers me because I like him.
Yeah.
The fact that he's, for the first time, been called a little guy, oh, man, that put up all of my red flag. All of my spider senses start tingling when I hear that stuff. Because I think that's a really one of the, oh, it's just the beginning of the end
see,
kind of thing.
I think it's going to be the opposite. I think that he's going to overcome to prove that he is the man that can do extraordinary things or whatever that bullshit line is.
Wonderful. Now, but you know what I'm saying? My frustration that now we're at Finn Balor overcomes the odds to win territory instead of yeah. just Finn Balor's a good pro wrestler territory, which is the waters I thought we had been swimming in.
Yeah.
I want him to be like Seth Rollins. He's just a very good wrestler that wins most of his matches.
Yeah, well, they don't even trust Seth Rollins. So
well, you're right. Biff and Chip, who will win? The Constable of Monday Night Raw or its resident leprechaun?
I would definitely...
His haunted leprechaun.
I would definitely be ready to panic if Finn Balor loses this match. I mean, the guy's pinned Roman Reigns. The guy's pinned Seth Rollins. We can't forget that stuff.
Yep.
And, I mean, if he doesn't win this one, I didn't consider the option he might lose.
If
he does, I will be ready to panic for Finn Balor.
If this was regular old Baron Corbin, I'd be with you. This is new authority figure Baron Corbin's first pay-per-view match. That's my X factor on it.
It's over if Finn loses this.
No, it's not. But
you're not going to pick up quickly.
But you can start to walk down that road of he is no longer on the path.
You're
he was
slipping
2 years
down the hill
ago.
At that
yeah,
point.
Yeah, like right. I think we're already on a different road than we were 2 years ago. Now you're talking about like, I hope he wins another. I hope he wins an Intercontinental Championship someday.
Maybe
you know what I mean. Like that's where our. I hate how watered down our expectations for this performer have become because I think he's just awesome, but. Doesn't matter what I think. Who is next in this 15-match cavalcade?
We have the Raw Tag Team Championships are on the line, and Matt Hardy and Bray Wyatt are defending against the B-Team.
Oh, man, this is so... I'm so conflicted when it comes to this, because on the one hand, I really like the B-Team, and I just want to see what it looks like.
I think they've got a real shot.
A really good
do.
Shot.
They do, but at the same time, I don't think we've even begun, and, you know... By design or not, we haven't even cracked the surface of the Deleter of Worlds.
Yeah.
You know, like Bray Wyatt gets into that car accident and is off TV for a few weeks and doesn't even really help to the build of this show.
Right.
And it feels like they never really got going as the tag team champions. I'm going to pick the Deleter of Worlds because I think that we can get a better feel-good moment. We can get a better feel-good moment with the B-Team at SummerSlam and... It ties into a prediction that I have later.
Forgive me for using the words that everybody hates, but here we are, right? You inevitably compare Bray Wyatt, fair, unfair, whatever, whatever, whatever. You inevitably compare Bray Wyatt to The Undertaker
right.
because there's supposed to be something supernatural that he brings to this federation that no one else does, right?
Right.
Well, no one ever, ever made fun of The Undertaker.
Yeah, right.
And certainly not to live to tell the tale
yeah,
of
right.
mocking The Undertaker.
Yeah.
Right? You're talking about a guy like that Brock Lesnar would like do that like ha 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 laugh thing at him, but not mock him.
Yeah, the only other person was CM Punk.
Right, and right, and that was almost more of a mockery of Paul Bearer.
Yeah.
And kind of like a spit in your face of the magic kind of thing. But he didn't. This is a full-fledged month-long mockery of Bray Wyatt. And as much as fun as we've had with Bo Dallas's impression, right?
Yeah, of his brother, and we all know what we're looking at.
There is already something to be said about this guy, quote, allowing you to mock me like that.
Yeah.
And then there's something much worse that comes if he also loses the match.
Yeah.
So if Bray Wyatt goes out there and Bray and Matt dominate, it's a 70-30 kind of match, Bray Wyatt gets the pin because how dare you make fun of me kind of thing. Okay, we're doing okay. If they lose,
yeah.
Now you let, with all due respect, Bo Flippin' Dallas, and I think one of the worst active performers in professional wrestling in Curtis Axel,
yeah,
mock you for a month and then beat you. And I'm sorry, I like Bray Wyatt a ton, but all of these things dilute the character,
make it
harder to invest.
Right.
This guy's going to come out in a month and tell me that, you know, it, by the end of the year, he's going to tell me he's the favorite to win the Royal Rumble because he's so evil and magical, and your eyes will roll right out of your head.
Yep.
And this is a big, this I think is a bigger outcome for Bray Wyatt than maybe appears on the surface.
Okay.
And I'm going to pick the B team because they keep winning and they're going to keep winning.
Yeah. I still go with Hart, the leader of worlds.
I hope you're right.
I've enjoyed the B team a lot more than I expected to, and I don't think it's impossible that they win, but my official prediction is going to be the leaders of worlds.
Yeah. I hope it's 70-30 and Wyatt gets the pin.
Mine goes far more. It's because it parallels the SmackDown Tag Team Championship. That's why I'm picking the Hardys.
Okay.
I mean the Hardy Wyatt combo.
Okay. Chip.
Probably the B team. That I don't know much, but probably the B team.
Shut up.
I just feel like
I don't know much.
The gimmick they've got right now is I can't believe they won again.
Yeah, right.
So
are they supposed to be the job squad? Like the new?
No, they win. No, yeah, they're on a roll.
They've been winning.
No, they're on a
roll. Yeah, they keep fluking their way into wins.
Yeah, they're more like the BWO where they're like, we're stupid, but they win.
Yeah, right.
Sometime. Okay.
Yeah,
I guess the B team.
All right, so the SmackDown championships are on the line. The Bludgeon Brothers are defending against Team Hell No.
Yeah, so the reason why I think that the Raw tag team titles don't change hands is because I think that this does.
Not a bad thought.
And we're not going to have both tag titles flip, so I think we're only getting one, and I think that this is the lock because they've handled Daniel Bryan very, very well since returning. And I've said it a million times on this show. You can't have him anywhere near the WWE title or the Universal title until it's time for him to challenge and win it. Because the fans will revolt and the Yes Movement will start all over again. So what do? You reform Team Hell No. You give Kane one last hurrah. Give them both something relevant and fun to do. Harper and Rowan as the Bludgeon Brothers have failed in my eyes. I don't find them to be interesting. They don't add anything other than they walk at each other and carry those hammers.
It's so weird because when they were in the Wyatt family, it was all exposition and very little proof in the pudding.
Right.
We're haunted, we're evil, we come from the woods. There's these weird vignettes of this like compound with this house.
Right.
And you feel like you're in a creepy, like you feel
I'm
like
Hell's mechanic and you're Hell's janitor.
Right. You feel like you're in The Hills Have Eyes when we go through and see and somehow some guy in a jumpsuit and another guy in a tank top were way scarier, more intimidating, and more interesting than the guys with the masks and the cloaks.
Well, and they're
the
wearing the same masks.
Right, and the hammers, and they come from the woods, and it's and they're out in the woods, you know, hitting watermelons or whatever the hell, because they're not hitting people with those hammers.
Yeah, right.
And so it's
Gallagher.
It's amazing how it's not about the costumes.
Right.
It's about what you're actually telling people.
And Luke Harper used to talk, and he doesn't talk anymore.
Biff, what do you think of the Bludgeon Brothers so far?
I love Luke Harper.
I like so do I.
But
what do you think
of
the Bludgeon Brothers?
You know what that means.
you know what
the team in this iteration has not been good.
No.
Well, it's also the thing like, look, I understand that Triple H had two sledgehammers. One of them was made of obvious rubber and the other one was real, and he wrapped his hand around it and hit you with his hand in a way no one would hit anyone with a sledgehammer.
If anything, would do more damage to his hand.
Right. Yeah, no right. one would ever think to hit something with a sledgehammer by wrapping their hand around the hard
crush
part
your digits.
And then throwing your hand at you.
Yeah, right. right.
And so, but to his credit, he hit you with the damn thing.
Yeah, right.
Right. These Bludgeon Brothers carry around with these Gallagher-like hammers.
Yeah, these Mjolnir-level hammers.
Right. Murder weapons.
And they don't even take, like, swings and misses. They right. just bring them, they put them down, they're like, look at them, look out.
And
they
don't make us do masks on
Wouldn't
them.
That be worse, though, if they took swings and misses?
If they try, if one time, like, yeah. if that was the gimmick where it's like, I can't hit you.
It's like Flair going to the top rope.
If one damn yeah. time they rolled somebody on their like back and looked like they were going to Glenn from Walking Dead some guy, yeah. and then he like rolled out of the way, at least that'd be scary once.
Yeah,
you
right.
don't even use them. You're just like, just so you know, we do own hammers.
I could use yeah. a little more attempted murder from guys called the Bludgeon Brothers.
yeah. Thank you.
yeah.
Or why
or at least
do
like,
it?
Do the vignettes of them bludgeoning stuff.
Yeah, right. Like
like you said, watermelons.
Yeah, anything at this point. Like yeah. anything. Like be like awful and scary and have this like cut to like a goat and then and you just like look at the camera and you're like, you know what's gonna happen to that goat.
Yeah, right.
They're gonna
have IHOP like sponsor a segment where you turn somebody into a pancake
no,
or something.
No, but we're one like
they're
we,
high up now.
We like they're much closer to appearing in a Dave and Buster's commercial yes. playing whack-a-mole yeah. than they are like hitting
killing
someone
people.
With that stupid yeah. hammer.
International right. House of Bludgeon.
Oh!
But it's back to IHOP now.
Oh! Yeah.
Pancakes, pancakes, pancakes.
The International House of Pain, one of the greatest rap groups.
Jump.
One of the greatest rap groups and Japanese stables.
Yeah.
The International House of Pain.
But yeah, I think that Team Hell No is going to win this.
So do I. And please do.
Yeah.
And please do.
And take the Bludgeon Brothers away and bring us just back Harper and Rowan.
Yeah. Oh, God. Or, I mean, yeah. It's very interesting to see because, like...
this is like the Matadors.
Is it?
Like...
they had a bull.
Yeah, I know.
El Torito. That means the little bull.
Ole. Yeah, but it's just like you Ole. Had... It's like, holy crap, guys. You're just...
Hey, we're two Puerto Ricans who you... We're two Puerto Ricans who you are calling Mexican to do a Spanish gimmick.
Yeah.
Ole.
Ole.
Remember they had the crowd chanting Ole in their entrance music?
I do. Remember that recorded Ole they needed to... Because the fucking real people weren't going to do it?
Yeah. Because they were bad. Yeah, right. Now they're evil travel salesmen?
It's also,
even with the company anymore?
Yeah, they're just not. I remember talking to... Carlito about that. I'm driving around with Carlito Caribbean Cool and I go, so your cousins are in the WWE, right? And they're like the travel guys, and he's like, is that what they're doing now? I'm like, you don't even talk about it. He goes, they don't talk about it.
They don't.
Somehow the Cologne brothers are still on the payroll.
It's like, yeah, it's like their gimmick, I think, was they're gonna try to trick you to go to Puerto Rico where you'll be murdered.
Yeah. Or you were just gonna have a bad time at their timeshare.
They're the guys from Taken that put you into sex trafficking.
Yeah. Well, that's much more interesting
than
what
from
I
Trifolia.
Thought they were
gonna
do.
That's much more Lucha Underground, I feel, than
WWE. Definitely much more Lucha Underground.
Yeah, Lucha Underground just had somebody die in their programming.
Phoenix died in the first season.
Cool.
And so did Mil Muertes. What are you trying to show us, Chip?
There's a picture of Donovan Dijak, who is now known as Dominicolo Dagvecchio, or
Dominic
Dijakovic.
And it says, and he's like
tennis player Dominic Dijakovic.
He seems to not care as much as we do about his terrible, terrible new name.
Yeah,
Dominic Dijakovic. Are you for
fucking
real?
Terrible.
I told Biff when we were going on our way to pizza. It's like WWE did one of those wacky gimmicks. Like, you know how they just had everybody dress up like ECW stars?
Yeah, right.
It's like they had a wacky gimmick where they're like, what if NXT was headquartered in Yugoslavia? He yeah. probably wouldn't be Dijak, right? He'd be yeah. Dominic Dijakovic. Ha ha. But that's definitely not his real name.
Yeah.
You know what I mean?
I can't wait for Harrison Ford to take him down in Air Force 1-2.
Well, yeah. we'll talk about it when the time is right. But my fear is if he debuts on NXT television with a Russian accent, it's over.
Yeah.
Because he will fight John Cena once and lose, and that will be the end of it.
He'll still get a tank, maybe.
And that'll be the... Right. Well, Dominic Dijakovic?
It's are fucking
you,
awful.
You sound like yeah. the world's first and most famous trapeze artist or
it's
something.
It's got to be a joke.
Yeah.
I'm not convinced it's real yet.
I don't know that. I don't know.
Especially since they've already put him against somebody like Velveteen Dream as Chris Dijak.
That's the one guy you give one name, Dijak.
Right.
It's a badass name.
Dominic Dijakovic.
Yeah. You extended his last name.
Right?
Brutal.
It's not even Dominic Dijak.
Right.
Dijakovic.
Chris Dijak sounds like the fake name you give Dominik Dijakovic, because that's so damn silly.
My favorite part about the whole thing is that when you go on WWE.com and it says Dominik Dijakovic, next to it in parentheses it says USA.
Right, because you think he's from Croatia or something.
Yeah,
right.
No.
You know what I mean? Like, are you from one of the countries that fell in the USSR?
Yeah.
Dominik
Dijakovic?
Dominik Dijakovic? Are you serious? You seem like somebody who will hopelessly try to take out James Bond.
Yep. Yep.
Oh, yeah. I don't like it. The United States Championship is on the line here at Extreme Rules, and Jeff Hardy is defending against Shinsuke Nakamura.
We love you, Dijak, by the way.
Yeah. Yes, we do.
Nakamura really probably should win.
Yeah, right? Nakamura should win.
Please?
Yeah.
So we have something to do. Biff?
I think so, too.
Biff, what do you think of the fact that Shinsuke Nakamura won the Royal Rumble just to lose to AJ Styles 5 times?
Yeah.
What do you think about that?
Was
no,
weird.
Honest to God, what do you think about that? Because it's weird to me.
It's weird he never like even once got it for a quick run. And him and Asuka winning the Royal Rumble and then having nothing to show for it.
Right. Now, Asuka, I understand, because our mission for the women, whether people like it or not, this is like 2008. Our mission for the men in 2008 is to make John Cena the biggest star in the history of the business. I don't care if you like it. That's what we're doing.
Yeah.
And whether people accept it or not, whether the diehard Sasha Banks fans, the diehard even Alexa Bliss fans, even if they don't want to hear this, the goal of the women's division is to make Charlotte the most successful woman that ever wrestled ever. That is the goal. And so Asuka winning the Rumble to put Charlotte over makes much more sense to me than Nakamura winning the Rumble to lose 5 times to AJ Styles and then find himself hoping to win the United States
and
title.
And won like one non-title match on SmackDown, but like, yeah, it's all weird.
Right, and when I say lose, I mean not win the belt.
Yeah.
That's what I mean.
Yeah.
5 times and not win the belt is what
it's,
I mean.
It is odd.
And it's just like, and I'm not even crying about the fact that Nakamura didn't win the WWE title per se. I think there's fun there. I would have liked to see it, whatever, all that stuff.
But they went down that road.
Right, but it's just really strange to me that he won it at all.
Yeah.
Yes.
Because we could have had him lose to AJ Styles 5 times, all sorts of ways. We didn't have to win the Royal Rumble to do that.
Yeah.
And believe me, I'm sorry, I'll say it. I'm glad it didn't happen. But it's like, why didn't Reigns just win the Royal Rumble? You know what I mean? Reigns was just going to lose to Brock in the main event anyway. Why didn't he win the Royal Rumble? But I'm glad he didn't, but it's interesting. Nakamura wins the U.S. title, yeah?
Yeah, I think so,
agree.
Too.
He has to, and then
that's
he'll fight.
Be where
I forgot Jeff Hardy had it.
That he'll fight Sharkevious.
Yeah, Sharkevious Mingo?
Yep, in a Kennel from Hell match.
Yeah.
All right, so this match is probably going to go last on Extreme Rules, but it's not going to go last on our show.
Yeah, okay.
It's Roman Reigns and Bobby Lashley in a what the hell, whatever match.
It probably will go
the
on
the grudge
last.
Match?
It probably will go on last.
It's going to go on last. And
I just think I think it makes a lot of sense what you're saying, so Lashley can have a comeuppance.
Yeah.
I just think Reigns is going to win.
Schmoz.
Yeah, probably.
Schmoz, no. Yeah, no
makes
sense. No decisive. They fight, and even though this is Extreme Rules, they're going to fight to a no contest because for some odd reason, this is an Extreme Rules match.
Biff, what do you think of Bobby Lashley's return to WWE so far?
It's been odd. The Sami Zayn stuff was rough.
Tough.
Rough and tough.
I think they wanted the guy because they wanted the guy. They didn't want the guy because they had this awesome idea for what to do with him.
Yeah, it really feels like they didn't have much of a plan with Lashley. Right. They just signed him.
He was available. They like him. They've gotten to the point now where they are playing that video game where everybody's an all-star, your bench is loaded with all-stars, your minor league system's got a couple all-stars in it in case they get hurt in the video game, you got to call up more. You know, you got, like, I remember when I was a kid playing, my favorite baseball game ever was MVP 2004.
Right.
With Manny Ramirez on the cover, and I traded for Albert Pujols at first, and, you know, Sammy Sosa and Wright, and, you know, and all,
right.
So that's what WWE has become, where it's just like, what if we just acquire all the talent available?
Right.
And then it's like, well, what about coaching? What about direction? What about bringing in a player because they fit a need, not just because they're available?
Right.
You know what I mean? And with Bobby Lashley, hey, okay, I have Brock Flippin' Lesnar.
Right.
And Braun Strowman.
Well, that's what
I... What are you doing here?
Well, that's what I said about Bobby Lashley, is why the hell are you on Raw?
Why aren't you on SmackDown?
You should be on SmackDown,
I've
being
got,
Brock
right,
Lesnar.
Right, because Bobby, when you come here, you're not the biggest guy, that's Braun. And you're not the MMA guy, that's Brock.
Right. So get your ass over to SmackDown.
Right. Well, you could be both of those things.
Or you can be both of those things.
Right. Yeah, Bob. Right. Yeah, Bob.
God damn it, Bob.
I think that I also want to give credit where credit is due, because it's important to note these things as well, to be fair. I think that Reigns has been given a big old pile of crap and done fairly well.
I mean,
well,
he's looked pretty good the last few
weeks.
Well,
it also doesn't help that 3 weeks ago, this was a completely different story.
Right. They were building towards something much different.
It was supposed to be a six-man number one contender
match. Yeah, what happened to that?
They weren't sure Brock was going to work.
Yeah, Brock wasn't going to work at SummerSlam, so they only announced these two.
And to be fair, Pro Wrestling Sheet's really putting their neck out there and calling it a 100% lock. They are, A, the only people doing that, and B, I haven't heard a damn thing from WWE yet. So even though Pro Wrestling Sheet is very reputable, I'm still sort of at we'll see.
Well, yeah. This Brock thing, I mean, I'm pro Brock. I like him, but it's getting out of hand. I mean,
it's silly. Pretty ridiculous. Biff, if that dude doesn't work SummerSlam, I'm out.
Yeah,
and I love Brock. And it's part of the problem is because I want to see this wrestler I like.
Yeah.
It's not even about the belt to me anymore, which I also think now needs to become part of the show. Unfortunately.
Because you don't have an A story on Raw.
That's it. What I thought was, okay, you don't need the title if you tell good stories.
Right,
well,
you're not.
Jokes on me, because
you're not.
They're not. So this is a company that just absolutely needs titles to get from point A to point B, and they need this one to
do
the same.
Tomorrow night's going to be a definitive night for Bob Lash over there, and
Bob Lash.
Do we think he touches the Universal title?
I think so.
No, it'd have to be there. It's not gonna be there tomorrow.
In this run.
Oh, I thought you meant tomorrow, like tease it.
No.
Will Bobby Lashley ever be the Universal champion?
I think so.
I will say no.
I think so.
I don't.
I think so, because then we can point to another title that a black guy has won, but not the WWE one.
My concern would be, I mean, and there's plenty of time and all that stuff, but, you know, my concern is still I'm still nervous that Strowman's going to be unsuccessful with his cash-in, and I think that would just be a terrible decision. I'm going to worry about Bobby Lashley after I worry about Braun Strowman.
I think that's just completely unfounded.
Well, it's the fact that the latest report is that Brock Lesnar and Roman Reigns are going to main event WrestleMania 35.
Oh, I think we're recreating Seth Rollins.
I hope so. I don't. I think Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar because it's time for Roman Reigns to beat Brock Lesnar, because Roman Reigns is Roman Reigns.
The big dog's going to bring the big fight to the big yard.
Got
to
get his.
Right? Oh, geez. Bigly.
Big loaf.
Bigly. And he's got to get his. I know John Cena didn't, but now Roman Reigns has lost to Lesnar again and again and again. He's got to get it back. And so is Strowman going to hold this briefcase for a year? I mean, maybe, but...
Yeah,
I mean,
why not?
Oh, maybe, but I also don't know if that's a good idea. I'm a monster. I want the... Well, cash, then go.
Yeah. Well, the thing is he can't because Brock's not there.
I know, but that would mean that he also doesn't cash in anytime Brock is there, which will be once or twice between now and WrestleMania.
Right, and I think that's why I think it's WrestleMania.
I hope you... Oh, man. I hope
because so. Because it's different. Seth Rollins went in and was sneaky about it.
Yep.
Braun Strowman goes in and starts destroying everybody.
And believe me, man, they have gotten me a lot lately. But if Roman Reigns takes on Brock Lesnar and loses, or at least doesn't win again... Yeah, color me fully surprised that this was the story, where it's like, yeah, between 2015 and 2019, Roman Reigns fought Brock Lesnar 4 times and just didn't win.
Yeah.
Wow. You know what I mean?
Yeah, like, that's clearly where we're heading.
Yeah, color me surprised if that's the payoff here. You know what I mean? But here's hoping. But if Roman Reigns beats Brock Lesnar just to say, look, I did, and then gets cashed in on, yes. But I don't think they can capture that. I also don't want to take that moment away from Seth Rollins. I'm just nervous. I'm not telling you I think he's going to, but this briefcase makes me nervous. Because I want him to win so bad. Because I want Strowman to win so bad.
Very unlikely that he's not successful with that briefcase.
Yeah,
it's super unlikely.
I hope so.
Baron botched it. They're going to let Braun go through with it.
I hope so. I'm not making any definitive predictions.
All right, what's next?
Speaking of Braun Strowman, we have Braun Strowman battling Kevin Owens in a steel cage match.
This is going to be really fun, and I can't wait to watch Kevin Owens win by having Braun Strowman literally throw him over the cage.
Can I ask, why does Braun Strowman hate Kevin Owens so much?
I think he's just picking on him.
Like, Kevin's trying to be his friend, and he's just, like, being mean to him.
See, the impression it's I weird. Get is that Kevin Owens is rightfully terrified.
Yes.
And Braun Strowman gets a kick out of that.
Yes, that's exactly
He's
what
like
it is.
He's spraying him in the face.
And see, what I
want to
do is write WWE stories for them and be like, okay, so is the story that Kevin Owens has spent such a long time being a bully that now he's getting bullied and that Braun Strowman is taking it upon himself
to get the vengeance
because he's the baby here. But I'm doing that writing. No one else is. Yes. That's not in it. You know what I mean? Like if I need to write that story to get through every Monday, fine, but they don't.
That's
not
WWE
that.
For you. They leave you to fill in a lot of blanks for yourself.
Exactly.
So.
Yeah.
But I do.
That's right.
But this is one of those times we talked about in the beginning of the show. The roster's too good for the show to just flat out suck.
Yeah.
And this is an example of that. Those two guys are too good. The cage will make it extra fun.
And Braun Strowman will do something awe-inspiring. Like I say it half-jokingly, but yeah, no. Kevin Owens might win this match.
You might be onto something.
Because Braun Strowman throws him over the top.
Or like through it.
Or you know what I mean? Like Braun Strowman might not win this match, but it'll be because something insane happens.
It could, I mean, like... Who knows? I'm not going to start fantasy booking, but I mean, how amazing would it be? You rig the cage so Kevin Owens is climbing, and it's like, oh man, I don't think Braun's going to be able to get up there.
Right, and
in
he
time.
Lifts the cage up off of the thing.
Or if that's unsafe, you just see Strowman go up, take a panel, rip it down, and walk out.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So Owens is up on the top, who didn't jump down yet, and Strowman just goes, okay, and leaves.
Right.
And leaves.
Yeah.
And now Kevin Owens is up there and doesn't see Strowman left, and so he jumps down to win, and actually, Strowman's there waiting, because he's so amazing,
right,
and beats you up, even though he already won, and all that stuff.
Yeah, right.
We could have that kind of fun.
Right.
I hope we have that kind of fun.
We do have that kind of fun with this guy.
And to be fair, sometimes with Kevin Owens, too. He seems to be...
game for anything.
I think that they're both just two of the very best they're offering by now by a mile. I'm going to say that Strowman wins because he's got he should.
Yeah, I think Kevin Owens wins, but I think it's something like he is the victor of the match, but he is not the winner.
Gotcha.
I think Liam changed my prediction. I think KO wins via Braun being destructive.
Right.
And,
there's something nonsensical that happens.
But the
W goes to KO.
I hope so.
And that's the best case scenario for everybody. Because like you said, Braun ripped down half the cage and everybody goes, Braun's a monster. Oh my God. But like Kevin Owens still gets a W. So it's like, ha ha, you know, and he can kind of.
And that's in line with everything they got going on.
Right.
Character-wise.
You know what I want out of Braun and KO is I want KO to be a little bit more competition. I want Braun to move a little bit back closer to man and KO move closer to monster.
I want
a little more closer of a matchup.
You know who I want?
It just does not feel like it.
I want the KO that took on two guys.
Yeah.
I want the KO that took on John Cena.
Exactly.
And I want the KO that took on Bill Goldberg. Because the guy that took on John Cena was the guy that goes, no, I'm going to win.
Right.
And then did. And then there's a guy that took on Bill Goldberg who I think character-wise, that character goes, I'm probably not going to win, but I'm not scared. And I have a plan.
Right.
And
I mean, that's
like
the thing, too.
Like a prize fighter.
Right. Well, that's the thing, too, is there's also a possibility that they're locked in the cage and that switch flips for KO. And that could be like, they beat the hell out of each other. And Kevin Owens kind of gets himself back on track that way.
Because with Goldberg, I know the match was very short and they did the Jericho thing and the whole thing was just Owens like going to the outside. So Goldberg, you know, had to stall or I don't know, whatever.
Yeah. But the matches only last 10 seconds.
And the ref rang the bell right when
KO was like, haha, I'm going to have one of the longest Goldberg matches in history because I'm going to walk around.
Yeah.
But that guy who was like, when the bell rang, he even went up to Goldberg, like, let's go. You know, I'm not afraid of you.
Yeah, right.
Even though it's like, I felt like it was somebody who knew he was about to box with a comet.
Yeah,
was
right.
Like, I'm not afraid. And that's what I want with the Strowman. I don't want him to
try and run
cower
away.
And I want him to be like, look, this is going to suck, but let's do it. You know what I mean?
Yes. Yeah.
Because that guy's compelling and that guy is easy to invest in.
And root for.
And I think Strowman's going to win because right now he's got all the belts and cases and momentum and stuff, but I definitely hope Owens has an awesome showing.
Yeah.
The SmackDown Women's Championship is on the line, and it's between Carmella, the champion, against Asuka. However, James Ellsworth will be hanging above the ring in a shark cage.
I don't care about the James Ellsworth portion of this match.
I don't care about it at all, because here's where I am. If this is the reason and that we get Asuka to just beat Carmella, wonderful.
I don't think that's going
to
happen.
But the problem here is I'm at the point, like, I know I'm supposed to be mad at Carmella. I know I'm not supposed to like her. I know that. But my issue with Carmella is not that she's annoying, like, because I'm not supposed to like the Iconics.
Right.
But I think they're very good. And so their annoyance is great because they're very good.
Right.
Carmella is a terrible professional wrestler. Just the worst. Stretches, rest holds, screaming. When it's time to go, she can't. And so now, right, with Ellsworth in theory as a non-factor.
Right, which you know he's going to be.
But Asuka should smash this person in less than 3 minutes. And
right.
When, as
well,
soon as
she was,
doesn't, I'm out.
Well, because she's going to, she kicked the crap out of her the first time until Ellsworth showed up.
We have built these characters so differently that Carmella wins by luck and Asuka wins because she, of course,
she's
she
does. A monster.
And now we're taking out the thing that equalizes everything.
Right.
Right. So how is Carmella going to do it this time?
Right.
And how many, that's, you know what I mean? And I understand. One of the goals in pro wrestling is have you hate the heel champion. Hate the heel champion. When they right. lose, you're going to love it. But I think Carmella, in a world where, like, Becky Lynch is awesome and
right.
not used.
Yeah, Carmella's, we've done it. Let's move on with her.
Right.
You know, I'm ready to move on from Carmella, and let's move on to whatever's next.
I'm also ready to see Asuka do something that she hasn't done yet, which is like, Asuka has yet to have the opportunity to be like, this is my show, I'm a dominant champion.
Right.
The most dominant program she had was building up to losing to Charlotte.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Yeah,
so
right.
I'm ready for her to kind of plant her flag on the main roster too. So let's go Asuka.
She's done nothing since that Royal Rumble.
Yeah, I still think Carmella wins because there's a schmoz for Ellsworth.
Oh my God.
Yeah, I can't shake the feeling they find a way to.
She lucks out again.
Yeah.
She locks out again.
It's very possible.
All right. The Intercontinental Championship is on the line in what should be an absolute classic. We have Dolph Ziggler taking on Seth Rollins in a 30-minute Iron Man match.
Or, as they call it in Japan, a match.
Yeah, right. Just, yeah. We wrestle for a long time. And, well, I really, you know me, I really like Dolph Ziggler. I think he's one of the best performers on the roster. I think Seth Rollins is the best WWE superstar active in that company today. I think he's just the best performer they offer and one of the top 3 to 5 performers active in the world right now.
Okay.
So this should be one of those matches, like I said in the beginning of the show, that makes this show impossible to suck because this will be part of it.
Yeah, right.
I actually think that Ziggler is going to retain his championship.
I do too.
And I don't know if it's the best thing for the Intercontinental title. If Seth Rollins is on a path to beat Brock Lesnar, fine. Every time people say that to me, I just don't believe that's true.
No.
Because when? Is Seth Rollins going to win at SummerSlam?
Well, the big thing is...
No, he's not.
Is he going to leapfrog Roman Reigns?
Right. And also, like, literally, when?
When?
So you're telling me that the reason that Seth Rollins isn't the Intercontinental Champion right now and might lose at Extreme Rules is because, well, he'll get Brock.
When?
SummerSlam?
Night
that's
of
not going to happen. That's
no.
not going to happen. In theory, you told me that he's going to do it so he can beat Brock.
Right.
You're wrong.
Yeah, right.
Unfortunately, you're Roman Reigns blowing out his knee away from being right, but right now, you're wrong.
Yeah,
you
right.
You know what I mean?
Correct.
There's Roman Reigns, Seth Rollins isn't the next Universal Champion. You know what I mean?
Right.
I would love that to be true.
But it's just not.
But that's come on, that's not actually happening right now. And it's not the reason he's not the Intercontinental Champion.
Right.
You know what I mean? Unfortunately, I can't figure out what the reason is, but I know what the reasons aren't.
Right. Yeah, makes sense.
What do you think of the match that we're about to have tonight between these two
guys? You know, I'm excited. I think that Drew McIntyre is going to be involved in the beginning, not the end. I think McIntyre is the reason why Seth Rollins goes down early, but not the reason why he loses.
Okay. Biff, what do you think of the match, and what do you think of the Intercontinental title right now?
Oh, this match is definitely a reason to at least look forward to this pay-per-view, and it really just feels like Dolph got this title to end up on a crash course with Drew, for Drew to get it, and I really hope it goes that way, and I think Dolph retains.
Would you not have been better served? Now, I understand that maybe they're going to tell one of the two WWE stories they offer, which is friendship gone wrong. And that's what's going to happen with Ziggler and McIntyre, right? I get you. Because, again, there's two stories. I want your belt or we used to be friends. And so right now they get we used to be friends and then I'll want your belt.
I still don't understand why they're hanging out, but that's neither here nor there.
Oh, you're never going to find out. But I think we'd have been so much better served if on a random ass Raw, it was Seth Rollins versus Drew McIntyre and then McIntyre just won.
Right.
It was like, oh, you all don't understand. I've been traveling and training and if we're doing this just to get to McIntyre, he should have just
been the one to beat him.
He just
Should
have beat Seth Rollins.
We don't need to have him beat Dolph Ziggler.
It would have meant so much more for McIntyre to beat Seth Rollins for that championship.
And Dolph, you know, would have kind of looked at him like Drew was supposed to be Dolph's heavy, so he's going to look at him like, what are you doing with the, you know, what are you doing with the title?
And if the point is so McIntyre can, what, turn face to beat heel Ziggler for the Intercontinental Championship, why didn't we just bring him back as a face? Why are we already using turns? We used to make heel and face turns when characters had been doing things for about 2 to 3 years and it was getting old. You know what I mean?
Right.
McIntyre's been back for like 6 months. We're already talking about drastic heel and face turns. Like, it's so convoluted and unnecessarily complicated. Right. It's just, but I think Ziggler's going
to
win.
I would also expect Dean Ambrose to be the reason why Seth Rollins does not win.
Do you think we see Dean Ambrose tonight?
I
think we might. I heard that Ambrose wasn't like the original prognosis was SummerSlam, but now that we're living in that world, he might be. It's a month. He might be back. He might be ready to go.
He doesn't really have to do anything too physical tonight or on Sunday night either.
Dean Ambrose, please be a heel. You have no
no
prayer of being an interesting babyface. I've seen it.
Yeah.
All right. The second to last match on this card here is actually the first Extreme Rules match. And it's...
Match 17 is the first one with the stipulation.
Alexa Bliss, the Raw Women's Champion, is taking on Nia Jax.
So I don't know if you heard, but a woman by the name of Ronda Rousey bought a ticket.
What?
And so she'll be...
That's a robot from the Jetsons?
Yeah.
That's Rosie.
That's Rosie. Okay.
Close. You combined.
Is Ronda Rousey going to be there?
Yeah, Ronda Rousey's going to be there. Ronda Rousey's going to be sitting front row for this match. Obviously, she's going to get involved. I think that she's going to get involved. She wants to get her hands on Alexa Bliss. So she basically inadvertently screws over Nia Jax.
What?
To keep the title on Alexa so she can get her at SummerSlam.
Oh, boy.
Yeah. I think there's going to be something where, like, Ronda Orton can't control her can't control her temper, jumps the barricade, just has enough, something that makes it super nuts, maybe even something that extends quote unquote her suspension or makes her have her next match fight to have the suspension relieved, you know what I mean, or something like that. Bliss is definitely going to retain because Bliss is going to fight Rousey for that championship.
Right. Yes, because that's the money match. That's the match everybody actually wants to see. That's the match that makes the most sense.
People want to see Alexa Bliss die.
Watch Alexa Bliss die, and having Ronda Rousey do it is exactly what people want. WWE has been building this perfectly.
SummerSlam?
Yes.
Because then Rousey, Rousey and Charlotte?
Rousey and Charlotte.
Champion versus champion?
At Mania.
Main event at WrestleMania 35?
Yes.
Do it.
Instead of Brock versus Roman again.
Sweet Jesus, just don't have it go on last.
Yeah, right.
Until the video package comes on the screen, second to last, and everybody walks out.
Everybody walks out.
Oh, I mean, you want to talk about a fit? Here's the thing. If you want to avoid a fit, you have got to, on your TV, tell people if they're
going last.
If they're not main eventing, you need to tell people that Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, the final image of WrestleMania, like, you've got to drill it into people's heads where if they go into that building expecting anything else, they've been ignorant to the product.
Yeah.
Right.
You know what I mean?
Right. You have to let everybody know that this is what's happening.
Because if not, if there is a possibility that these women main event Mania for the first time and then don't, and it's because of Roman Reigns and Brock Lesnar, the two least popular people you offer right now from the men's side of things.
Yeah.
Yeah. You will lose that crowd
forever.
You will lose that crowd, man.
Yeah.
Because you got the Roman element and you got the women's revolution element. Oh, and you have so much to be pissed off about.
And the company's sexist.
And the big thing, the big thing about this, this particular match, just to kind of bring it back to Extreme Rules, is this match is basically built to this match is built to have Alexa sneak out of here.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, she's too, her character is too smart for the Extreme Rules stipulation to not work in her favor.
I'm not going to make broad sweeping presumptions. I'm not sure Nia Jax impressed anybody with her short championship run.
I don't think so.
So I don't think they're going to be rushed in a rush to get it back to her.
Yeah, I don't think so either. Especially when Ronda Rousey's the plan.
Yeah, I don't think that they, I don't know. And I think Rousey beating Nia Jax would have been good, too, like for the championship, right, because she's so big, but they go in a specific direction.
Yeah, this is the way they want it. Well, it's working. It's working because everybody wants Alexa Bliss to die, and when Ronda Rousey does it, everybody's going to lose their banana.
Yep.
I'll say, okay, so the rightful main event here on the Extreme Rules pay-per-view is the WWE Championship match between AJ Styles and Rusev, and it also happens to fall on Rusev Day.
That's the craziest part about this.
Wow. What a coincidence. It's almost like they planned it. Rusev has zero shot of winning, so I am not even going to do that thing where I'm like, hey, maybe.
Not even 1%?
Nope. No. No.
I want him to win so bad, and
me
he
too,
won't.
But he won't. I'm not, because I love Rusev so much, I'm not going to sit here and do that thing where I go like,
you talk yourself into it.
Here's why and how and maybe, because the last time I did that, I didn't believe a word I said. And I was like, this is why Sting's going to beat Seth Rollins tonight. I never believed me. I never believed me.
Right.
And so I could sit here and be like, well, the shirts and the chant, and they are high on Lana, and they're a package deal, and you know how WWE likes the babyface to chase the heel champion, and maybe the foreign heel will have the belt, and they'll be like, what the program that Styles didn't have with Mahal because it wasn't popular. Well, Rusev's more popular than Mahal, so people maybe invest. None of that is true. Stop.
Yeah.
Don't do it to yourself. Don't. No. It's like, you, when you hold that Powerball ticket in your hand and you watch the news, you're not going to win. So stop spending the money all day in your head.
Yeah, right.
You know what I mean? So, like, that's the, you know what I mean?
It's a good, it's a good example.
And so that's what I'm doing.
But there is a chance you could.
Right. Well, you can't win if you don't play.
Exactly.
But you know what I mean? But, yeah, could a meteor hit the earth? Yup. And it won't. So Rusev's not going to win, and I'm not going to talk myself into it. My biggest thing, I've said this before, I'll say it again. My curiosity here and spotlight will be on the next few weeks to month of SmackDown to see, does Rusev stay main event relevant? Does he fade into obscurity? Does he slip back to the middle somewhere?
Does he not even show up on TV?
Exactly. Is Rusev just a stopgap one time we needed some heel to take on AJ at this Be Who Cares pay-per-view?
Right.
Or is this at least the beginning of him swimming in better waters?
Right.
Around the title, around the guy. Literally, on Tuesday, is he going to say, AJ, I came so close and I demand another opportunity? Or is he not even going to be on SmackDown at all, so you kind of forget about Rusev for a little while?
Right.
That's what I'm curious about. He's not going to win tonight. Don't do it to you. Yeah. I'm not going to do it to me.
Yeah.
But there is something cool to be said about him being in the match.
Yeah.
And maybe if he performs at the level I think we all know he can, maybe it's the beginning. Maybe
right.
It's the beginning.
Right. He's not going to win his first shot at the title, but that doesn't mean that this time next year he's not a viable contender to be.
Right. If you go that the performance he put on tonight and the way that the crowd played along with who he is, that sometime in 2019
he wins
a WWE title, awesome.
Yeah. Because
awesome.
The unfortunate business decision that kind of comes with AJ Styles right now, which, I mean, isn't an unfortunate business decision, is he's the cover athlete for your video game that comes out in October.
Yeah.
AJ Styles has no shot of losing this title until that video game comes out and has been out for a month.
AJ Styles, to me, feels like a 80s WWE champion. This is the show we put on, and this is the champion.
Yeah, right.
And literally, if AJ Styles held and defended the title at 35, I believe it.
What a cool place to be at, though. Let's, you know,
yeah,
let's
right.
step
oh,
back
yeah,
for
right.
a second.
Yeah, right.
Yeah. That's not a complaint.
No,
yeah.
no.
The fact that AJ Styles is having a shockingly long WWE title run is awesome.
Rusev would be cool, but it's AJ.
Oh, yeah.
I can't be mad.
And that's why, and that's another reason why I'm not sitting here banging my fist about it going, get this guy
this
a title.
This isn't Jinder Mahal.
Right.
It's AJ Styles, and when he debuted in the company, I remember you and I sitting here and taking calls being like, do you think AJ Styles will win one WWE title? And we took calls with people being like, I hope so, maybe. You know what I mean? And now we're talking about, is AJ Styles' title run maybe a little too long? So, not bad.
Not a bad place to be.
Not bad. And Biff is right just in the general landscape of where we are. Really quick, Biff, what do you think of Rusev? And do you give him higher odds than I do, which are zero?
No, I don't give him higher odds. I like Rusev. I might not like him as much as everybody celebrating Rusev Day, but I mean, I like him, and he's obviously talented.
He's terrific.
But it's not going to happen. But hey, it's cool he's in the match. It's going to be a good match.
They clearly need...
I don't think he'll run into a wall like he did when he lost to John Cena.
They need variety on that show.
Yeah.
I mean, one of the reasons that Nakamura and Styles are going at it this often is not just because the back likes it.
They don't have anything.
Who the hell else are you going to do?
Well, and I've talked about this. I've talked about how bad the brand split is, and now we're seeing kind of what I've been talking about.
Yeah, it's suffering now.
It's suffering.
Yeah, it's suffering now.
And the brand split's what, 2 years old, three years old?
Closer to two. We were there.
It was June 2016.
Yeah,
so
it's 2 years
about
old.
About 2 years now.
Yeah. So 2 years old, and this is what I said when they talked about it the first time.
Yeah.
You're not as deep as you think you are to do this.
Yeah,
and we're seeing that.
That's what she said.
Yeah.
Hey, right? That works.
Whoa. Nice.
That works.
Yeah. What a way to close it out.
Yeah, great. Thanks so much, everybody, for joining us. If you liked what you heard and you want to stick around, we're also going to be live after WWE Extreme. Oh, Biff has got one more point.
Just one more thing. Just want to thank you guys for letting me and Chip give all of our great contributions, and
well, thanks for your contribution.
Yeah, no, Chip did. I think Chip did really well.
Yeah,
he did like a few matches.
He's still awake. Yeah, he's awake, which is good.
Yeah,
but he's also trying to figure out like if that horse door works.
He's still stuck on that.
Chip, pop into Liam's camera and say hi.
Yeah, pop in, say hi. Come here, give me a kiss. Give me a kiss right here.
Does he look like Teen Wolf?
Can I get a kiss on the cheek?
Does he look like Teen Wolf?
Come on, no, give me a kiss.
He looks like he owns a Greek banquet hall.
Also
called the Spicoli. Yeah.
Also enjoyed some delicious pizza with honey mustard earlier this evening.
Okay,
wonderful.
Well, that's done. That's it for Biff.
Save the number 508-202-1624. We'll be live right after Extreme Rules. So when the pay-per-view ends, the fun is just beginning. We're taking your calls, your live reactions to what happened. Do we have new champions? What's going on in WWE? What do you think about what we've got going on as we head towards SummerSlam? Give us a call. We are live for a reason. Enjoy Extreme Rules. There's going to be plenty of things to take away and have fun tonight. Have some friends. Have some pizza. Enjoy wrestling. Enjoy WWE. Take this show for what it is and pluck some fun out of it. You order this network. You care. You invest this time, this energy. Find something that makes you happy about what will be a fun night of wrestling. We hope you had fun, and we hope you have fun after the show with the New Age Insiders as well. Big shout out to Biff and to Chip. My name's Jason Malt.
I am Liam Stryker.
And I'm Bill Neville.
We are the New Age Insiders. You can find us on Twitter, including during Extreme Rules, for a reason, at New Age Insiders, at Liam NAI, at Bill Neville NAI. You can become a Patreon. Join us 7 days a week, including during all of these events. NewAgeInsiders.com, Patreon.com has everything that you need. And you've already made us the premier place, whether the rules are extreme or not, for wrestling fans to connect, discuss, and to be heard.
We out.